And if you're coming here on Sunday mornings, whatever time you're doing, and you're thinking about other things, and you're not really plugged into the Holy Spirit as He wants to minister to you, husbands and wives, as our children are being taught in the Sunday schools, that when we leave here, you're either going to practice what you really believe, or you're going to reject it, and you'll become a false professor.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Continuing our series, Warning Against Spiritual Hypocrisy, Roel will urge us to stay genuine in our relationship with the Lord. It's easy to say that we love Jesus and fill our lives with religious activity while never actually surrendering our hearts, but God isn't fooled. Stay with us for a challenge to go beyond lip service to truly living out our faith. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, here's Roel Reese with our lesson, False Professors Among Us.
Jesus must have felt not only encouraged, but at the same time bummed out. Because when he gives a study in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, in the previous verses, remember, he says the way to heaven is very narrow, very few people enter into it. But then he said the way to destruction, many go there. Again, he's going to use the word twice, many here in verses 21 to 23. Now, these are people here that he's going to talk about, people that say, Lord, Lord. Now, we hear that a lot. And he's going to give you a description of these people. Let's read chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Look what he says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, the gift of prophecy, cast out demons in your name, notice demonology, and done many wonders in your name. And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those are pretty intense, heavy words from the mouth of Jesus. Yes, he is a God of love, but God will judge justly. He gives everybody in the world to have an opportunity to receive him or to reject him. Can you imagine in this generation the accountability with computers, with satellites, with all the modern technology phones that we have today? There's no excuse for anybody to say, I never knew. Everybody knows. Doesn't matter who it is. And if this is responsibility that we're supposed to have as Christians, then how much more our families, our friends, our enemies? Here Jesus makes it very plain. He's talking to the disciples. He's not talking to the multitude. He's training the disciples, and then he's going to have more and more teaching those that build the house on the sand and those that build the house on the rock. So he wants to make sure the disciples understand. Because if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, then we have to understand the Sermon on the Mount. Why? It applies to each one of us individually. You see, we have seen our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Amazing instructions from Jesus. And not only amazing instructions, but he gives you the freedom to accept it or to reject it. He never forces himself on anybody. Remember, Jesus speaks to those that believe, his disciples. And then the multitude are another. And later on, Jesus will go out and minister to the multitudes. And the Pharisees, the scribes, and Sadducees, which are enemies of the cross, they come against Jesus. Jesus doesn't waste his time with those people. He says, you're getting close to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, so you make the choice. And it's the same choice that everybody has to make even today. He warns them here against the idea of not doing his perfect will. Every one of us has to fall into the perfect will of God. And the first thing that I thought about as I was studying the passage He said, God's perfect will is that no one should ever perish, but all should come to repentance. God is not willing that anybody should go to hell, that they should go to heaven. The problem is that God has created each one of us individually with a will. Nobody can ever say, you didn't speak to me, you never gave me an opportunity. Yes, he did. Look at the galaxy, the heavens that he created. And then why is it that people can't believe in Jesus Christ? Why is it that people accept religion more than a personal relationship with the Lord? We have to be in the center, not of our will. We have to be in the center of his will, his perfect will. So now Jesus turns here again to a danger that lies within every individual himself, and that is rejecting or self-delusion or deception. Where do you fall today? False deception or false delusion? As you came here this morning. Now you may be coming regularly to church, or you might be going somewhere else to fellowship. But did you know that in most of the churches today, there are people that say they believe, but they really don't believe? Look at their lives. Do their lives meet the word of God? Are we really salt? Are we really light? Are we really hungering and thirsting for truth and for the righteousness of Jesus Christ? We cannot be righteous unless we come by faith in Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus Christ, I become righteous not by myself. I become righteous because of him, his righteousness. Which is so cool to understand that. You notice that he says, or they say, we have done. This is the thing, we have done. They're into works. The whole world today is into work. Well, I go to church, I help little old ladies, I give my money to the church, and I'm doing this and helping here and helping there. It doesn't matter what you do if you don't have the right heart. If you don't have the right relationship with the Lord, anybody can do anything for another person. But you have to do it through the love of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that accepts that. This is the way it is. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to do my will. His will is perfect. Then Jesus says, workers of iniquity. That's the problem. The servants of iniquity, which means sin. We are constantly workers of sin. And I think of how many people outside of the church have iniquity in their lives. And it breaks my heart. That when I'm teaching anywhere in any church across the country, around the world, when I begin to teach and then the people come up and you see that a lot of them are not really committed to the Lordship of Christ. They don't know how to respond. They don't know how to walk. And by the way, nobody can ever receive salvation or come to Christ unless it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that counts when people are praying for you. Or when you open the Bible and God begins to speak to your heart. And this is so neat because I can remember my life, people were praying for me. I didn't even know they were praying for me. Sharon's family. And I thought that I had it all together until the Holy Spirit got a hold of my life. Then I knew I was wrong. And that's the way it should be. And these people that he's talking to here, they don't see that. They think they're on their way to heaven because they're doing miracles and wonders. They're saying, praise the Lord. They're doing all these little things, miracles and wonders, and the Lord says, no, you're not doing what I tell you to do. You call me Lord, Lord, but I'm not your Lord. I'm not Lord of your life. And then remember, Jesus also says, I never knew you. I never knew you. You think you knew me, but I don't know you. The only way that we can know Christ is to repent, come to him, and that's the only way that he can know us. In relationship, in fellowship with one another. As the relationship comes closer to the Lordship of Christ, my fellowship with me and him is more intimate. And imagine how God not only deals with each one of our lives. I want to hear the words, I says, when we hear Jesus' voice, he's going to say, come in, my servant. Look what I prepared for you. And if we do that is by not only receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, but being obedient to the things that God has given to each one of us individually. Now, the real test of becoming a born-again Christian or to become a disciple of Jesus Christ through the Word of God is to see your growth in Christ in a period of time. By reading the Bible, knowing God's word, praying, communing with God, obeying God's word, winning people to the Lord, because people are going to hell. And if we don't do that, then how will they ever know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, especially family? Let's look at verse 21. Profession only. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he, notice, who does the will of my Father in heaven. So profession alone fails to do more than to profess. Everybody can profess. Anybody can profess. You see, profession alone does not allow us to do God's will. God's will is that we humble ourselves, that we repent, and that we begin to do His perfect will by reading, praying, fellowshipping, witnessing. That's what a real Christian does. And yet profession alone acknowledges, notice, honor to Jesus Christ, no, to self. Listen to what Mark 7, 6 says. He answered and said to them, why did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written in the book of Isaiah? These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. That's the church today. And then how about Titus 1:16? They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit us anytime at SomebodyLovesYou.com for scripture-rich resources that will guide you in walking closely in step with the Lord. If you have Bible questions or prayer requests that you'd like to share with Raul, you can email him at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Let's continue now with more from Raul Reese.
Psalm 78:35, and then they remember that God was their rock. And then Moses, God was a redeemer, that God was a redeemer. Nevertheless, they flatter Him with their mouth, and they lie to Him with their tongues. Again, the ear and the mouth. With their tongue, they were lying. We hear so many things, but do we really do what we hear, especially righteousness? It is not what you say always. It's the way you live for Christ Jesus. The scriptures are so clear when it comes to that. Again, 7:21, remember what he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Kurios, Kurios, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So he's very clear about the will of God. The person who does God's will is the person also who truly believes, obeys, and loves Jesus Christ. That's the person. John 15:10 says, Jesus, if you keep my commandments, two commandments, love God, love your neighbor, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I mean, how many times do we have to hear it? No one can enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by being obedient to the Word of God. That means that He calls the shots, not you. We submit, we obey, we do what He says. And if not, then we don't have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And think of how many people, while we praise the Lord, we are doing evil in our minds, in our hearts. And when we leave here, we forget all about God. No fear of God. Luke 6:46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say to you? The things that I say to you, why aren't you obedient? And then John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says in 1 Samuel 15:22, now, 1 Samuel 15:22, let me give you a little background because a lot of you do not read the Old Testament. This is the book of Samuel. Saul is the king. Saul has been given the reign over the people of God, except he lords over them. God gives him a command. I want you to go and I want you to kill all the Amalekites. The reason for that, he said, women, children, everybody. And the reason when Moses was bringing the people of God out of Egypt, the Amalekites snuck behind the children of Israel and they began to kill the weak, not the strong of God. So God says, because what they did back there, now I'm going to get even. I'm going to kill all these people that came against my children. Here's Saul. He goes and he spares the best of the flock, the children and the women. And what does Saul do? He's not a priest. He gives and sacrifices to God where he has nothing to do with that. He breaks God's law. Then he sees Samuel coming. He says, "Oh, prophet, how are you, Samuel? It's so good to see you. Look what we've done. We've done everything God has said." And Samuel says to him, "What is that that I hear behind you? The bleeding of the sheep." You know what Saul did? Like all of us, they told me to do it. What Adam did in the garden, she did it. She told me to do it. You know what happened? As Samuel began to walk away, after he told him, "From now on, you've broken the law of God. You're on your way down." And as he started walking away, Saul reached out and grabbed his garment and ripped it. And Samuel turned around and said, "You should have never done that, because God now has ripped the kingdom from you. You're done." This is what he said. Hear me well. 1 Samuel 15:22. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" It's a question mark. Here comes the answer. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, to listen, than the fat of rams." How about the apostles in the book of Acts when they were arrested? But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." They came to him and said, "Hey, you got to stop talking in the name of Jesus. You can't do that. You'll get beaten. You'll get in prison." But they said, "How can we stop when we have to obey God?" Obeying God is the principal thing. Principal thing in the kingdom of God. It's not about you. It's about Him. And this is what Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind, even to give to every person according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." According to the fruits of his doings. Notice that. And then secondly, how about verse 22? Self-righteousness. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out devils in your name and done many wonders in your name.'" So notice the plea of false profession here. It works and no change. They continue to do whatever they want. Now, this morning, let me ask you a question. What is your motive of reading and praying and coming to church? What is your motive? Why do you do it? Remember, the more you come here and the Word of God is taught, the greater responsibility you're going to have, I'm going to have. And one day when you stand before the Lord, you're not going to be able to excuse yourself, whether it was my husband, my wife, my children, or this or that. You can't do that. Too much is given, much more is required by the Lord. As a child of God, I'm going to stand at the bema seat of Christ one day, and I'm going to be judged for my works. My works as a Christian. Gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble. And then it's going to go in the fire, and whatever comes out of the fire, that will be my reward. But if nothing comes out of the fire, I will be saved by the grace of God, period. That's it. Nothing to show. And yet we're going to rule in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom to come, we will rule. In Christ Jesus. Notice the third point, verse 23. Rejection. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The word "practice" there is a continued practice. Not once. A continued practice. How sad that is. Rejecting Jesus. Rejecting the Word of God. Rejecting obedience. And yet these people, notice, will be sorry on the day of judgment. Why? Because they're going to stand not at the bema seat of Christ. They're going to stand at the white throne judgment. You don't want to stand at the white throne judgment. At the white throne judgment, you will hear these words, "I never knew you. Depart from me. You who continually was practicing iniquity or sin." The rejection of false professors. Two reasons why. Number one, you never knew Christ as your Lord and Savior. You were a false professor of the faith of Jesus Christ. And yet in Ephesians 2:8, he says, Paul, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship. We are his poema, his poem. Notice, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why? Because we walk in fellowship with God. Secondly, the professor only works iniquity. All they know is wickedness. The word iniquity here is anomia in Greek. It means lawlessness or wickedness. It is neglecting an opportunity that God has given you through the Word of God. In substituting your will to do wickedness and not to hear the truth about Jesus Christ, but willfully rejecting it. 1 John chapter 3, 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is missing the mark. Lawlessness is you're not stupid. You know what you're doing. And sin is lawlessness. So we need to be careful how we look at Jesus Christ. Lord, Lord, what do you mean by Lord, Lord? What are you looking for in your life? And you know what? Nobody is dumb. I mean, we all know what we believe. We know what we get out of the Word of God. And if you're coming here on Sunday mornings, whatever time you're doing, and you're thinking about other things, you're not really plugged into the Holy Spirit as He wants to minister to you, husbands and wives, as our children are being taught in the Sunday schools, that when we leave here, you're either going to practice what you really believe or you're going to reject it and you'll become a false professor. A false professor of what Jesus Christ has given to each one of us. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, he condemns the shepherds that were actually fleecing the flock of God. They said, Lord, Lord, but they were not willing to repent and to take the people and love the people and take care of the people. And then he noticed this, because there's not only that problem with so many people, the shepherds, think of all of our country, all the churches, that all they want to do, they allow homosexuals in the pulpit to preach, and we're against sin. We love people. And then they allow other people to come in and tell the people, and they throw out seeds of poison, and the body becomes poisoned. And then on the day of judgment, these pastors, these teachers, are going to have to stand in the presence of God, and I would not want to stand in their feet. They're going to be cast into the lowest and the hottest place, not only hell, in the lake of fire.
Well, it is good to be reminded that self-serving religious activity is empty and meaningless, but genuine faith-filled service will one day receive an eternal reward. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To review today's message, call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for today's teaching titled False Professors Among Us. We'll send an unedited copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. Now, to equip you with more insight into the destructive nature of spiritual hypocrisy, we'd like to tell you about Raul's study titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. It's a six-part series that's available on both CD and USB, with every lesson exposing the lies of those in positions of church leadership who claim to love God but only care for themselves. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order all six-message series, False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send you the flash drive for $10 or the CD collection for $21. Our number again is 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese is fully listener-supported. We want to say thank you for your partnership in sharing God's eternal truth. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll get more wisdom and encouragement from the Word of God to direct us in walking in the Lord's perfect ways. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul.
Let me conclude with these words. Listen carefully. You call me Master, you obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and hear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Pretty heavy words. You'll be able to stand before God, and you will never be able to say, Lord, why did you condemn me? Nope. You condemn yourself. You made the choice of darkness. You made the choice of disobedience. When God has given us such a light, incredible. There's none of us here that would ever be able to go through anything that our families go through or you go through personally unless we have Jesus. Because we know and we believe in His perfect will.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.